Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Flywheel, your number one source for everything crypto, DeFi, and all that's in between. If you want to know what's going on in the world on chain, well, you come to the right place. This is DeFi Dave here with Capital K, and we are here to help you harness the power of the flywheel. And this time around, we get real like technical in this flywheel, honestly. We go into asymmetry finance, which is a money Lego kit for yield. It's funny. We always film the post-game before our intro, and you said money Lego kit. I'm like, ah, that's got it. And, you know, the question I want to pose to our viewers is, like, what can you do to boost your yield? What can you, like, what is out there, like, beyond just, first it was, like, vanilla ETH, and then it's, like, vanilla LST. But people are always looking for creative ways to boost their yield. So, Kit, what are your thoughts on this one?
OPE. Other people's emissions.
Other people's emissions. What does that mean? Well, we'll have to get into it. But before we do, make sure you go ahead, give us a bell button, hit that bell button, subscribe, leave us a comment, let us know what you think, give us a like. Make sure to follow us on all of our socials on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram at Flywheel DeFi. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22.
You can follow me at ZeroXCapital_K.
And let's get the flywheel spinning. Flywheel. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, here as always with Capital K. And today we have returning, we have Justin and we have Hannah of Asymmetry Finance. And the lore here actually is, I think it must have been like 3 or 4 months ago, Hannah, you reached out to me about like, hey, we're building Asymmetry. We made some moves. We're working with Frax. Like we're integrating Frax ETH. Can we have you on the show? And I remember you guys were just starting out. I was like, all right, let's have you guys on, you know, the Alpha Bytes. We'll have you guys on the short program. And then I heard the pitch for Asymmetry. I was like, whoa, this is really cool. This is combining two money Legos that make sense. Liquid staked ETH product and, the CVX yield. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And then I just ended up helping you guys from there. And then I ended up becoming an advisor. And now here we are. You guys are about to TGE. You guys have had tremendous growth since then. So like kudos to like all the progress you have made and happy to help in my own little way.
Appreciate you.
Yeah,
Dave.
Thank you so much. It's been a really fun journey and it's fun to grow fast.
It's fun to grow fast. Yes. Awesome. Now we're at the full flywheel interview here. We are all progressing together. So to begin, for those unfamiliar, what is your guys' background and how'd you get started building in crypto, and then what led you to Asymmetry? Let's hear the lore.
Yeah, so my background, like many people in our industry now, was in traditional finance. So I started out doing, I'm curious how many people out there know what an actuary is. If you know, that means you're as big of a nerd as me. But us actuaries always carried 3 calculators on us at all times because we did math, finance, statistics, and then applied that to economics and modeling. So kind of the whole shebang, which I thought actually pigeonholed me into TradFi. And then I'd been investing in crypto on the side since 2014 and eventually fell into a friend group with some crypto OGs. And they were like, you can actually like keep up with us. You should work in this space. And they convinced
validation.
Me to jump in.
We love
exactly.
The validation.
It's like, you guys really need risk analysis? They're like, yes, like, more than anything. Yes. So I started working at a few DAOs and DeFi startups. And then after that, most recently, I was at Genesis Global Trading. I was their senior DeFi specialist, where I was helping manage a pretty large DeFi portfolio. But then Justin reached out with the idea for Asymmetry, needed to test the initial assumptions of a few of his DeFi ideas. Called on me for some of the math validation and it worked. So we said, let's build this. And that was about 1.5 or 2 years ago. So it's been a while.
Wow.
And we can get into everything we've built, but that's my general intro.
Hannah, I still remember when I was at Zuzaloo and
yeah.
Just popped up at that, what was it? It was like this like different kind of spin the bottle game. You just like appeared.
It was like a truth or dare.
It was like a spin the bottle game, but serious. It was like a truth or dare.
spun the thing, but then you had to answer a question. That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah, that was it. It was not like your normal like teen spin the bottle. Like, no, it was like you spin the bottle, then you answer the question. And it was like, it got pretty deep. And then I remember it was like, you were saying how, yeah, I'm working on asymmetry. And I was like, oh. Yeah. And then almost a year later, it was like, we had you on again. That's more part of backstory. Like how we know each other.
It's crazy though how it all works out. And I think everyone knows this industry is so small and people that you just bump shoulders with months, if not years later, you end up building things right alongside of. So it's really awesome.
That's why in real life stuff is so valuable. And it's hard to fade. And that's why it's like every time there's a conference, and I kind of felt it when I was in that consensus. I'm just like, man, am I missing stuff? But you just need a balance between the two.
Anyways,
Justin, okay, what's your story? What's your background? How did you get into building and what led you to asymmetry?
Yeah, man. So my background starts in 2011. I was, I think, finishing up middle school then or something like that. Tells you how old I am. And I was taking apart cell phones. So I'm a huge nerd. I was taking apart cell phones and I found these GPUs and I was like, what do you do with these things? And so I found NVIDIA. And it was part that. And I didn't convince my parents to buy any Bitcoin at the time, but I did convince them to buy some NVIDIA. So NVIDIA ended up paying for my college, which is awesome. I still hold some today.
Oh, wow.
Nice. So been a long time on that one. Shout out to Jensen Huang for college. I also was running a FIFA Ultimate team. I love FIFA, love soccer. I was running a FIFA Ultimate team kind of ring. We had some guys who figured out how to basically you could buy and sell players on Ultimate Team, and some people would list them for a really low price on accident. Our bots would snatch them up and sell them for a profit. And so we were trying to figure out, how do you convert FIFA Ultimate Team coins? We were literally the OG snipers. How do you convert FIFA Ultimate Team coins into dollars? My parents wouldn't take me to a Western Union. So I found Bitcoin. And then that was the start of it all. Those two things happened at the same time. So I grew up a little bit, went and got degrees in comp sci and finance, did corporate software engineering for a little bit. It was okay. But I knew I wanted to go build startups. And so I went and built a cybersecurity startup with some friends, left that and joined Shapeshift and helped Shapeshift turn from a centralized entity into the DAO. And then left to go serve as head of product at Silo Finance. And then ASIM came about, and it's Hannah, I think you're right. I think it's like 2 years this summer.
Like
the first ideas were drawn up on, I keep yellow notepads by me all the time. And it's 2 years ago this summer that the first ASIM ideas were drawn up on a notepad and texted Hannah, and the rest is history.
Yeah. And I think with the evolution of asymmetry, how I understood is you guys eventually realized like, oh, we got to be simple yet effective. And that's how you thought of your original, like the product that I came to understand in our interview 3 months ago. Yeah. I'm curious, like, how have you guys evolved since then? And also, like, how, for those unfamiliar, like, how does asymmetry work?
Absolutely. So I can jump into a high level. First off, asymmetry, what we do is we supercharge different products in DeFi. So we wanted to focus on the sectors of DeFi that we thought were, one, the largest, and two, there to stay, which we think is staking, restaking, and synthetic dollars. So we've been in those industries and kind of building supercharged yield products in each of those. Okay, so Dave, when we met, our first product, AFE, that was focused in the staking space. And we took staked Frax ETH and we took Boatlock Convex, and we said, if we put these together, we can get a double digit yield, 10%+ APY hybrid staking token. And that's simple enough. One thing Justin and I said is, with each of these high yield products, we don't want any of the yield to come from us just printing our governance token. Too many people do that in DeFi and it's not sustainable. People get rugged. People are holding the bags, and that is not why we're here. So we said, let's build a protocol where that's not the case. That's what we've built so far. And coming up, we're really excited. We have a high yield restaking token that the protocol will launch in about 3 months, and that'll be a 27-ish% APY on restaking ETH. And then my favorite is the synthetic dollar, which we're working on, which will have over 20% APY. And that's about 6 months out. So, and that is without Death Spiral. We didn't fork Anchor and UST, Luna. It's none of that. It's really cool stuff. And we can kind of double click on some of that. And then I guess the last thing I'll say is we've also just grown as a protocol and gotten so much more efficient. Our first product took us 8 to 10 months to launch. The next one, actually AFCVX, which we just launched, which is it's the most liquid and highest yielding convex wrapper. So normally you have to choose one, like high yield or most liquid, but we actually have both of those and we built that in 5 weeks. So we're just shipping stuff now. So we've gotten faster, we've grown as a team, and we just have the best people. Justin and I cannot take credit for all of that. We have an awesome team backing us too.
How big is the team now?
Now we have 7 full-time, some part-time as well. Highly technical, super lean, and really, really tight with everyone on there.
Nice. Kit, I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No, you're good.
Cool. So yeah, you guys have at first it was the staking product with the staked ETH, ASF staked ETH. And now with the restaking, I'm curious how that works. Like, especially with eigenpoints, how is it 27%?
Yeah, on the LRT side. So it kind of really digs deep into the ecosystem that we're building. So the reason that AFCVX was built kind of first before building kind of what we consider to be kind of AF ETH V2 a little bit, but it's really an LRT, is because AFCVX obviously has higher yield than just going and vote locking your convex on its own. And then what we're going to do is we're very good friends with the Aladdin DAO team. We obviously built Clever is an Aladdin product, and we built AFCVX on top of Clever. The LRT AFE ETH, the EtherFi one, will take AFCVX, we'll put it into Protocol FX, create a stable token out of that AFCVX piece. So you split the volatility and the yield into two component parts. Let's take the stable one, pair it with the LRT, and now you have this marriage of only ETH price exposure, but it's a structured product hybrid token that gives you much higher yield coming from the convex ecosystem, but only ETH price exposure on the LRT side. And so you get this kind of best of both worlds piece where you have no convex price exposure, but you get the yield. And so I think that's going to be a really cool product that totally moves the needle and shakes up the space a little bit. And I was talking with a friend the other day, and Hannah, you were there too, and they were saying, kind of maybe there's a new meta here of these hybrid liquid staking tokens combining different pieces and getting really creative with it and creating what you could see as structured products, but they can be way, way, way simpler than that. Is it one click to stake? Boom, done. No problem. And everything else happens on the back end. So that's the alpha for you there, Dave. Did that make sense?
It did. But I need to hear that one more time and slower. Can you break down step by step how the restaking version works?
Totally.
I just want to say, Justin says he's not a GigaBrain. He's like a self-proclaimed not GigaBrain, and he totally is. He just riffs on this stuff and goes off. And I'm like, just a normal people.
We even had the Aladdin guys on before, and so I'm very familiar with this product. And even with having them on, I still need to hear, especially your viewers at home, hear it slow, step by step, and then Kit will give us a nice summary in his own words.
Slow. Oh,
I was gonna say,
step.
Justin, if I can hop in, if I can just take a shot now and see if I got
go
it, because like it just gelled in my brain the moment you said that. It was like all those synapses just fired, and kind of the way I see it is, you effectively take ETH as it is, and then you go through the normal restaking process, go through Eigen, get all the AVS operator on it. That's that piece everyone knows, super simple. The cool piece is you manage to take Convex, which is obviously a volatile asset that is you generating, but you're able to put it into FX protocol. And what FX protocol does is it separates the volatility away from the stable asset. Now you take the stable portion which is still yield bearing. You slap that with the ETH, hence, but not symmetrical. It's asymmetrical, right? Hence the name. And now you have a package product that gives you way higher yield while still only maintaining ETH deltas, so that you are effectively still long ETH. Now,
boom.
Let me ask you, thank you, thank you. Let me ask you a harder question. Is how do you, who's going to buy the other side of the volatile CVX in order for this to scale? Because as you saw with Kelp, as you saw with Renzo, like if this thing hits market and gets traction, it just goes boom to like, you know, 8-figure TVL literally in a matter of weeks. And then, you know, 9-figure and then 10 figures thereafter. Like how does CVX, that CVX side scale alongside this?
Totally. And that's really kind of the limiting factor in terms of how big this one can scale. So in a bull run, you have people like I've learned never to underestimate a degen's desire for leverage. It like shocks me every time. I'm not one of those people who is like seeking out every leverage opportunity, but there are plenty of them. So really you're looking at that other side of it and saying, hey, is there an appetite for it? I think what we can do to kind of spice it up a little bit is even add a little bit of yield to the leverage side. So you kind of sweeten the deal a little bit. And then past that, there has to be a cap at some point, kind of based on what the appetite is on the volatile leverage side. And that's really where you like you kind of run into the ceiling. But not only, I think that ceiling is in the 9-figure ballpark and probably beyond. But that's a good problem to have, but it's a very solvable one because you can look to other ecosystems, or a BAL being one of them. And there are a number of others. We're close with the Aerodrome team. I think there's a lot of other places where you can find DeFi, like real yield in DeFi that you can start to sprinkle in. And Asymmetry is already building hybrid liquid staking products. So it doesn't necessarily just have to be one yield source and one ETH source or something like that. Maybe it's frankly a combo of, you know, one ETH source, 4 different yield sources that kind of rotate through and change in their allocation. And so I think we're just kind of starting to scratch the surface on how dynamic these products can really be. And yet that's kind of the answer for you, if that makes sense.
No, it absolutely does. And like, the way I saw this product was like, I kind of went a little meta afterwards. I was like, well, they didn't create a CVX ETH product. They created a formula or a recipe to create these type of structured products. And Convex just happens to be the one that has a good yield, right? It's probably like a nice use case, test case. And then, you know, to get into the CVX product a bit, you can just go to Frax Lend and you can see the rates people are willing to pay to leverage. So there is absolutely demand there. And if it's cheaper to adopt these, you know, FX version of what you guys have built instead of leveraging on your own on Frax, because, you know, there's liquidation risk over there, no liquidation risk here, you know, kind of obvious where you should go if you want to leverage CVX. But man, this is very exciting stuff. I love this.
TLDR, these guys are truly cooking.
Yeah. Yes, chef.
Yeah. So like the thing that sticks out to me the most about Asymmetry is Money Legos is really the foundation for you guys. And it's all about collaborations and working with different protocols and seeing which protocols you can combine together. So how important is collaborations with you guys, and what other collaborations do you have? You know, doing, I saw Ion, Chunda is a friend of the show. I saw Napier. Can we go into like the collaboration ethos of Asymmetry?
Absolutely. So there's a bunch of them. Where to start? So absolutely, we'll start with Napier. Obviously, we're big fans and bullish on the whole PTYT Pendle ecosystem they've kind of created. It's super cool. And again, all about DeFi money Legos. So Napier guys, they're doing their Llama Quest, I believe they call it. That is
Llama Quest.
Llama Quest. It's their airdrop kind of rundown. I don't really know how to phrase that, but that's coming. Of course, Ion and Chunda, that'll probably be more on the, of course, the ETH side and giving people an optionality to borrow against their AF ETH or AF ETH.
Even more leverage. Let's go.
Boom. And then the EtherFi one, of course, to stay on the ETH train there as well. For AFE ETH. And then one for the synthetic dollar front. Of course, we've already built with Clever, but we'll build with Protocol FX a little bit more, kind of covering all of those. And then lastly, but definitely not least, the Ampleforth team is a kind of a newer entrant into the Asymmetry ecosystem. They certainly predate us by a good bit. They're OGs, but we're exploring collaboration with them on AFUSD and creating this absolutely kick-ass synthetic dollar that is inflation resistant, infinitely scalable, and really going to build the on-chain kind of alternative to Athena in my mind, and see where it goes from there. So we're cooking in the kitchen, getting the formula right, and then I think it's going to be pretty damn cool.
So, okay, so step by step, how does AFUSD work?
Dave, I can't tell you all this, all the trade secrets just yet.
That one we're keeping internal for a little bit.
Okay, what's the point, at least?
You'll be the first to know. We'll do, when we're ready to announce, we'll hop on again.
We'll be here, yeah. You know, you can't reveal all the recipes at once. I understand.
It's true.
What's the timeline on this one?
6 months. Ish.
Or less. Somewhere.
We tend to build fast, as I said. Justin and I are also the most conservative founders you've ever met. Whenever people are asking us for timeline estimates, we like to overperform. What's it called?
Under promise, over deliver.
That. Yeah.
Got it. So it could be less,
but we'll say 6 months.
Okay. All right. Well, Hannah, I got a question for you then. Obviously all of this, the GigaBrain stuff is great on a yellow notepad, but it needs the number crunching, the back-breaking hard numbers to kind of like back all of this
up.
It's
my calculators.
Right? And, with an S. Yeah. So could you please walk us through, like, let's take back to the inception of the, you know, the ETH product. Like, how did you do the math there? How did you figure 30% was like the number? You know?
Yeah. So absolutely. Honestly, calculators in Excel. So we basically, Justin and I went over the idea. We said, one, I created a model in which we would see at what different allocations of Convex at different prices could we guarantee a 10% yield. We chose that number. We said we want double digit. So we want 10% yield. That's like 3x the staking rate. That's really attractive. And then basically we looked at, created a model saying, okay, what allocation do we need to hit that? But then also say keeping an 80% chance that yield stays over 10% at different Convex price rates based on historical Convex price data through bear market and bull market. So Convex price is actually pretty great, at least at the time of this model. The Convex to ETH price correlation was 0.91. So they're highly correlated. Mm-hmm. So we factored that in, and then we basically said right around 30%. It does change here and there a little bit, but if you stick around there, you get that 10% yield, and that's enough to make people excited about it. That's just the Convex yield component. We also obviously added in the staking yield from the stake frax ETH side.
Got it. And the Convex yield side, you're talking about like the bribes that you receive for VLCVX, right?
Yep.
Got it. And then, so you had to model out, because those are, so I love the term OPM, right? Other people's money. But in this situation, you're using OPE, other people's emissions, you know, you're not paying your own, you're using other people's emissions. And you have to like, obviously normalize all of those random ass tokens into, you know, US dollar and then bring it all back. Oh my goodness, this Excel model must be massive.
Oh, it's pretty. There's colors. There's conditional formatting.
Color coding.
Oh, I really am. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm also a nerd like you. You know, in the Excel, like I love it. I also do conditional formatting, sensitivity tables. Like that's my shit.
Kid is the shape rotator here. So
yeah. So nice. I gotta ask. So are you always then kind of adjusting this 20%? Like, if something happens drastically, like, do you need to go and update the model, and or is it pretty much fixed in stone that it's going to be 20?
Everything's on chain. So everything's like smart contracts do the rest. So essentially our smart contracts rebalance at harvest. So every time we harvest, they take a look at what's going on, rebalance, and then everything's sorted.
Yeah. So rebalance as in sell Convex for ETH if needed or vice versa?
Yeah, exactly. And when users are depositing into AF ETH specifically, it also is looking at the ratio kit and looking and saying, okay, if one is say 90-10, then let's allocate essentially their entire deposit into one of the buckets in order to try and bring it back to the target ratio. So it's not super fixed. It's a little more fixed, set in stone in AFCVX, but it's really in AF ETH looking for that dynamic amount and trying to allocate, given that they are two totally separate assets, to try and completely fix it at all times creates a rigid system which can break. So you have to allow for a little bit of play there. In AFCVX, it's the same asset. So you can say, all right, let's target 80% clever, 20% staking. So it's much easier to stay a little more rigid. And of course, rebalance on Harvest. But that's kind of the two. That was like kind of the thought process behind the two pieces there.
Gotcha. And going back to Dave's question about partnerships and stuff, like, you know, with all the new products that you guys are rolling out, you know, especially with Ampleforth and the USD product, like, I'd imagine you guys are doing the same rigorous mathing to every single new product that's come out. And I bet you these partners are actually quite thankful that someone is doing all this analysis, like, kind of for them, right? Has that been an experience you've seen, or?
I would say it 100% goes both ways. So not only are they happy that we're essentially, you know, I think partnerships in crypto and DeFi especially are incredibly synergistic. So, you know, it's very mutually beneficial, but we're finding ways of utilizing their systems that they've built and making a better, not a better product than theirs, a different product, right? A hybrid product of theirs and ours that is better than what's on the market. So we're doing all the mathing on our side, but these people are geniuses, the founders of these protocols. So it's so nice for us also to be able to just get in a room, a virtual room, and brainstorm and have someone else to validate our math, you know, and things like that. Like the Ampleforth guys are legends, super smart. So it's really nice to like kind of meet other people who have not only done this in terms of founded an entire startup and they understand what goes on there, but then they are really well versed in all this stuff. I think it goes both ways a little bit.
Yeah.
Guys, also keep in mind, when Hannah makes spreadsheets, they're beautiful. When I make spreadsheets, they're an absolute nightmare.
They're an abomination.
There's no colors, there's no remote organization. Like they go sideways.
Anyway. It's like Rain Man the movie? No. What's the
is it Rain Man? Yeah, I think it's Rain.
Yeah.
That's just in spreadsheets.
There's something to behold.
Yeah. So how has the reception been for Asymmetry the past several months? I remember after we did our interview, I feel like CryptoVestor took the mantle from me and was really championing you guys, and you guys were like really the Convex community really got behind you guys. Totally. And how has like the rest of the reception been in like other communities and in general? I'll let you guys go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Convex loved both AF ETH and AFCVX. So the two products that are currently out now. And we actually have both of the Convex founders backing us. We have a lot of more active Convex community members have joined our community and done a lot for us and really jumped in.
We love the synergies.
Love it. Yes. And Convex is an awesome community. It's super tight. They've been around for a while, understand DeFi. It's really great stuff. So basically from here, this actually goes into some big news we have, but it's coming up June 12th. IDO, so ASF Gov token, which you can get on paid network, and we can throw a link in for that. But we're launching our governance token, and we're really making Asymmetry a DAO. So we want to grow our community beyond Convex, and we also, though, strategically are doing this now because right now we have done everything we said we would do with creating a high yield hybrid staking token. Creating the best Convex wrapper that's the most liquid, doesn't have a lockup. And we have a really good, you know, we've proven, hey, when we say we're going to do something, we do it, even if it's hard. But let's now with that, let people join our community. And then in the next 3 to 6 months, let's launch the products that are way larger market, it'll hit all of DeFi. We're going to enter restaking and synthetic dollars. So we kind of wanted to establish ourselves while we're smaller, allow the community to get in while we are still small and while we are still niche, but we've really proven ourselves. And then from here, you know, allow this to grow and allow our token to hopefully, or I guess the protocol token to, you know, reflect the growth in the protocol itself as we enter these bigger markets. So that's kind of the game plan. And we're really excited to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, for sure. Timing is really everything. And in between, all right, you guys already have these successful products and you're planning to launch these really exciting products in the future that have, you know, way more market share and way more opportunity. And now is like this perfect time to have this IDO. Could you get into like further more details about the IDO? I'll let you guys go from here.
Absolutely. So IDO is exclusively on Paid Network. So that's paidnetwork.com. It starts on June 12th for the early pool, which if you stake a certain amount of Paid, then you get in that early pool. Otherwise, you can wait for the main pool on the 13th. However, I recommend you have to do KYC for any investment over $1,000. So that can take a few days. Normally it's a few minutes, but if you want to guarantee you get in, make that account a few days in advance. We are very excited. So we're launching on there with some tokens. We're excited to grow the community. And then from there later, we'll be doing the DEX and SEX listings. So this is really the first time and the first chance the public has of getting our token before it goes onto those larger platforms.
And so what's the utility with the ASF? Is it governance? Is it like rev share? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Dave, there's a VE model plan. So
nice.
People, of course, be able to vote escrow, lock for however long they want or don't want. And then they'll, of course, have governance power within the protocol. And then it's feasible that, you know, we'll kind of see what the community wants to do in terms of voting. So the protocol will, of course, have revenue. And if a fee switch is governance decides to turn a fee switch on, and, you know, maybe governance could decide to redistribute that in some way, but it's ultimately not up to us. It's fully up to governance and as it all decentralizes. So the VE model will be fun though, and we will see kind of how it all shakes out. It's kind of putting it out into the wild and giving power to the people a little bit.
The VE model stands strong.
What does the VE model do?
4 years later.
Yeah, it's coming full circle. Kit VE, vote escrow. So basically saying users, when they lock, have voting power rather than just like a vote lock. Typically VE models, some of them have like decaying voting power. VEASF is not planned to have decaying voting power. So however long you lock, that's essentially your voting power and you can count on that. And then kind of see where it goes from there.
It would be really meta if you had a structured product based around the bribes of the ASF, VE ASF.
Ooh.
Right, but is the VE ASF used to dictate emissions, or what do you envision it being like truly like voting on?
Yeah, that was actually brought up today. Again, don't know, up to governance. But if I had to guess, I would imagine that at some point there would be the ability to direct some of those emissions, maybe get really creative with one of the things we're working on within AFCVX. Obviously, there's a massive chunk of CVX there. There's a big old chunk of CVX and AF ETH too. And so there's 1.5 million convex or so kind of at the asymmetry DAO's disposal just right now. And I think that number will continue to grow. And so it's conceivable that you could do what we're kind of internally calling like a flywheel of liquidity provision and emissions. Yeah. And so if you can make a compelling bribe or incentive to the CVX that's contained within AF ETH and within AFCVX, then you can almost farm your own rewards. And this kind of becomes a flywheel in and of itself where users could decide to direct that into whatever direction they really want to go. And so, again, not up to us. Governance will have to decide to do that or not. But if the people want it, then it can be facilitated. We'll kind of see where it goes from there.
The meta bribe.
The meta bribe. The meta bribe.
Meta.
Yeah, I think the roadmap pretty much laid out here. You know, we have the IDO happening, and then we have, you know, the restaking product, and then we'll have the synthetic dollar product. Is there anything else in the future plans that we've missed or have not covered yet?
You nailed it. I think that is what's on the roadmap now. I will say Justin's GigaBrain does have a few other ideas, but these are the priorities. And by the time we build these, he will have had 10 to 20 other ideas. We'll cherry pick the best two and have a few more products coming up. But it's just, yeah, we both embarrassingly enough dream about this stuff. And he actually came up with the idea for our last product in a dream. So that's a fun fact for you.
Wow, yeah, that's how all great ideas come about. And so it keeps me in a dream.
I feel like as you introduce more and more products, like liquidity becomes a bigger concern. And I'm curious to hear like how you guys are currently thinking about liquidity around, you know, your AF ETH product, then your AF CBX product, and then your AF, you know, LRT product, then your AF USD product, then your AF AF product, you know? It's like, how are you guys thinking about liquidity?
Yeah, Kit, you're talking mostly about like liquidity on secondary markets, Curve,
correct.
DEX and stuff.
Correct.
Yeah, so it's a great kind of piece there. I think there's two answers for you. One is that you can, of course, pair liquidity within the Curve pool. So maybe AF ETH is paired against AFEE type deal. And then it's kind of within and of itself. And obviously they have to have their own pairs in order to get in and out, but withdrawals will always be enabled. So that's one piece there. But on the second piece, it's kind of a little bit what I was talking about. We have a buddy who says money flows to yield like water flows to cracks. And he's right. And so if you can take this stash of CBX and make compelling bribes or compelling incentives to it, you can essentially create this almost discounted flywheel of farming your own bribes. And so you can say, all right, if a pool has 20 or 30% APY on Curve, people will deposit to it, like period, right? Money will flow. Mm-hmm. And so if you can almost get a discount on the cost to incentivize that pool, which is possible with essentially whitelisting bribes and bribing directly to the CBX that AFCBX controls within Clever, then you can essentially create this scenario in which it's, as protocol and liquidity grows, especially too, it becomes cheaper and cheaper and cheaper to actually incentivize the liquidity where you want it to go. And so you get kind of in the meta world at the end of all of this, theoretically, we're talking, you know, maybe it rolls out as a future product one day too, of like this, like liquidity as a service piece, because of the ability to whitelist bribes on the AFCV on the CBX that AFCVX controls within Clever and direct those emissions to different Curve pools. You get in a situation where I think just right off the bat, you're getting a discount on how much it costs to incentivize this liquidity. And then maybe you'd say, all right, I don't want the discount, but now I'm going to say, let me add more to it. And so because Kit, you're able to farm your own incentives essentially as protocol and liquidity grows. And so you kind of get into this situation. It's very similar to what Frax has done a really great job with, but you get into a situation where you're making more on your incentives than you're spending. And now you have an unlimited liquidity, like fire hose almost, as you can just point it at different Curve pools and say, yep, this is where I want it to go. And so if you put enough yield there, people will deposit.
Definitely. Frax ran this game and this playbook to like scale. So, you know, it can scale, you know, you can scale to multiple, like 9-figure plus. But then like my question to you is in your guys' specific product though, like the bribes and the yield from CVX is used inside the product itself. So how could then the ASF token holders kind of take that yield away from the product token holders? Am I making sense here?
I think so. So it's not that they would be taking away, rather more so symbiotic. So it really hinges on like protocol and liquidity growing, which of course hinges from the protocol's profitability standpoint. So as the protocol grows in profitability and revenue, protocol and liquidity grows, and then you're able to farm your own incentives. So not taking it away from like users, of course, that is never the intent or the goal or what'll happen, but rather if a fee switch is turned on, then you start to see this protocol and liquidity piece start to grow more and more and more. And then you're able to kind of have the best of both worlds where ASF holders get their share. And of course, it's not taking it actually from AFCVX. It's really more so the ASIM treasury or the ASIM DAO really starting to feed back into the flywheel itself. Very similar to how Frax has done it. They ran a great playbook, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Gotcha.
Can you summarize this in your own words?
Yeah, so effectively, the way I see it is right now, 100% of the yields is going into AF ETH, right? That product, all of the CVX, that the 20% of CVX inside that product is getting 100% of the yield from the CVX bribes and et cetera, et cetera. Now, in the future, when the fee switch is turned on for by VEA ASF voters, then now a portion of that 100% yield is going to go into the protocol, which is only fair because the protocol is literally doing all the work and providing you this 3x of your normal yield. So you can pay some of that excess back. So now as the protocol's treasury grows, now that becomes a fully owned, well, protocol-owned liquidity for the VEASF holders to then now vote and wherever it wants to go, and it can then get yield on top of that, pretty much.
Bingo. Yeah, and it gets really powerful as you get into the AFCVX and you get deeper down the rabbit hole, and maybe there's an Aura Bal piece come in, and like wherever there's liquidity, I think you will find ASIM trying to plant a flag.
And that leads to my next question. Like, let's say a few years down the line, what is the bull case scenario, world domination scenario of ASIM?
What does success look like?
What does success look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the products we have coming up are really great. We built the best product on the market in Convex, and we're going to do the same for restaking in the synthetic dollar. So synthetic dollar, you can see us as, you know, a rivaling Athena, I think, on-chain version, and we're going to scale it as large as we can. The protocol is going to grow. The community is going to grow. Governance is going to grow. And we'll decentralize as much as we can too. So super excited for that, and then have as many people involved as want to be. And I'd say, you know, I mean, $1 billion protocol sounds pretty nice, but who knows? $1 billion in TVL, like, that'd be awesome. And I think the markets that we're going after are definitely big enough for that. So maybe that's like my personal goal for asymmetry, but we will see. I think though, with what we're building, at the end of the day, Justin and I, we just set out to build like one thing that one person would use that neither of us had ever met. It's so, like, we did that, but you know, now we'll see. Now we're going to make it asymmetry DAO, and we're going to see what the DAO does and how big it can grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Big believers in taking big swings, and shoot for that, you know, couple $1 billion protocol. And if you fall a little short, maybe you fall into the, you're still in the nine figures, right? But take big swings at the end of the day is, you know, is where you want to go. So wherever that leads is, we'll keep, hammering on that path.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you guys. So Hannah, so with like Athena, the whole way they built was like, oh, we're going to be this hybrid of like on-chain and off-chain and access like off-chain centralized exchange liquidity. And that has really got them to grow to where it is. Do you think there's enough liquidity on-chain to get you guys at the same level as Athena?
So I think that maybe if there isn't now, there will be, right? So we're talking a few years out. I think we're honestly going to see the entire like market cap and liquidity of all of crypto and DeFi grow. We got through some rough stuff, guys. Like FTX, like Celsius. Yeah. Like, these were catastrophic events that in parallel universes wiped out DeFi, right? And we came back from it. So I think that there still is a lot of PTSD around that that has slowed the amount of growth that there would be if there hadn't been those events. But I also think that people will realize, oh, there's products that have and protocols that have built, you know, like fail safes against these now. And so I do think that especially when interest rates drop again, I am a macro econ person. Mm-hmm. When interest rates drop again, I think we're going to see, you know, another DeFi summer. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that liquidity is going to increase. I know that. So Justin and I are super strong believers in like kind of the OG DeFi where it's like, we want things on chain. We want things open source. We want things permissionless. So we'll build in that.
Speaking my language.
Yeah, Athena can build off-chain, on-chain, but I know that that's not why I'm here. It's a great product, but I like building fully open source stuff. And I know Justin's the same, so I think we'll keep building in that niche. And I do think that niche will grow quite a bit in potential over the next few years.
Yeah, the real flippening is when there's more liquidity on chain. That's the real. Central centralized exchange liquidity, and if you want to really get out there, global liquidity. All of it's just on chain.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
bullish
the dream.
AF.
That's the dream.
Bullish AF.
Bullish AF. Bullish AF.
It is. Yeah.
Yes. I was so like surprised that you guys didn't do that. Just AF. We'd be like, that's ETH AF. You know, that's USD AF. You know,
we did like the beginning. Yeah, actually.
This is the most, like, this is the best ETH you can ever get. This is the ETH AF, bro.
Yeah, that's true. We did AF ETH. Oversight on that one. We did make our governance token ASF. So it's like we're bullish ASF. Like, you know, yeah. So there's some memeability there. But I think that if we could go back in time, maybe we would have gone ETH AF.
That's ETH AF.
Maybe it'll call it happen ETH AF. In the future.
That's the next product.
Yeah, we just flip it around.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when it's 20% ETH, 80% convex.
Yeah.
Awesome. And these are great vibes, guys. I think you guys are a stellar team, and I definitely hope to see that billion TVL in you guys' future.
Oh, yeah. We do too.
Yeah, for sure. And wrapping up this interview, we always like to do a lightning round. Where we have like a few questions to get to know you guys more off chain. So, Kit, you can go with the first
question. What's that?
So the first lightning round.
What's off chain?
What's off chain?
I'm kidding.
Okay, what's your questions, Kit?
Yeah, that's a great question. So then, you know, Justin already shared what was his virgin crypto experience. So, you know, Hannah, I'd love to hear yours. What was your virgin crypto experience? When did you first touch the blockchain and sex doesn't count?
Was that to Justin or me? Sorry, it cut out for me.
To you.
Okay.
Because he already told us with his Bitcoin and FIFA.
Yeah. So my first crypto experience was actually at Red Lobster in Minnesota, where I grew up. That was my first job. So I've come a long way. And I was working there as a hostess, and the other host was this super libertarian guy. I hope he has the pleasure of hearing this. But he basically was like talking to me. He was super libertarian, very into crypto, gold and silver, and we had hours together during our shifts, and he would just talk to me about crypto. And this was back in 2013. And so basically I first got in 2014, and I had one of the first Keep Keys ever, which was one of the first hardware wallets. I got that you could put on Bitcoin and ETH. And then, that was where I stored it. And then I got deep. Then I was in, some of the OGs will know these names, so I'll list them off, but like EOS and Neo. You could get Neon EOS. Gas, which was so cool.
You're killer, baby.
You're giving me PTSD with EOS. I am so scarred. Oh my God.
I know. Then there was like, I don't know if you guys remember Vertcoin, but they were like, it's
of course.
The bronze.
Yes, of course, of course. Yeah,
was that
the one
that got the Pornhub integration, or was that
X-verse?
V-Chain or Vertcoin? I don't remember.
And then there was like Redcoin. They were like, "We're going to be the token of Reddit." I was like, "That's going to take off." They had no partnership with Reddit. Like my DD was nothing. So that was my first entry point.
Awesome. All right. So switching gears to Justin here, what would you be doing for your professional career if you weren't in tech, crypto, or finance? Or breaking terms and condition on FIFA and EA?
Sorry, EA. They've since cracked down. It sucked. What would I be doing? I think I would be a musician in another life. I play guitar, I sing, I play piano, and I did it all through my whole life, even all through college, performing in gigs around where I went to school. And so I think that would be kind of yeah, I think that would be that. And maybe I'll go back to it at some point. There's a little, a little bit of a different path, but I think it'd be fun.
Hannah, see, did
what
you
a renaissance
brain.
Man.
Giga brain.
I was like, what a renaissance man. Okay, you must make a theme song
every
for ASF.
Play, that's actually
good. Every
genius wants to be a musician, secretly.
Yeah, you got to make a theme song for the IDO. You literally have 6 days. You know, the moment I open up that website, it got to get me pumped. It got to get me pumped ASF. You know?
No pun intended.
You can use the yellow notepad to plan it out. It'll be great.
All right, done. Yeah, consider done. I got 6 days, one song.
Let's go. All right. Hannah, how about you? What would you be doing if you weren't in actuary? You could not do math. You could not open Excel.
Oh, no.
And you cannot touch your safe keep, your ledger. What would you be doing?
Oh, Okay, going down a similar path.
Her brain is ding, ding, ding.
Another. I can't do math. I can't use my calculators.
Okay, honestly, yeah. I guess kind of similarly down the creative path. I think I might. I'm also not really taking financial upside into account because in this world there is no math. So,
there is no math. I love you.
I love writing. I write every day. I write both. I mean, I keep a journal. I also write poetry. And then, beyond that, I'm kind of scoping out a book. So I don't have time for that now, but it's in my mental, you know, in the future, I'd love to do that if I get a break. So yeah, probably writing, very far from math.
I love the creative energy here.
So we have 6 days for a song and then 6 days for a novella. All right. And I need to read this.
Okay. We'll just email our team. Hey, you guys got the rest of this right.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And final question on my end, who do you want to see on the show? Who would you recommend to be a guest on Flywheel?
Ooh.
I'm so happy you include this question, Kit.
Yeah,
it's the best one.
There's some good ones.
You know, we got shape rotators and word cells here, so we can tickle both sides of any personality you want to bring on.
Who do you want to hear talk?
Huh.
Do we have to know the person, or can we just be spewing?
Anybody. Could be Abraham Lincoln.
I mean, that would be pretty cool, objectively.
Preferably alive.
Okay, we'll keep it to alive. That's a bummer, though. It rules out a lot of the world population. Crypto person I want to see on the show.
You probably don't have
Hannah,
to.
What do you got?
I'm thinking, and I feel like maybe someone, I'm not like confident in that I want to see that, though. I think I could be funny to see someone who's been very close to a crypto genius, but isn't the, like a mom or like a sister, and just like ask not about the tech itself, but about like, what have you noticed from this journey? Like, because they were there from square one, right? And they've seen this industry grow. They've probably seen their crypto genius brother or son or whatever, like make money, lose money, build stuff.
Oh, and someone...
Someone tangential. Tangential. I think that would be really cool. Like, what was it like? And then also, what have you noticed about the industry and how it changed maybe
this
your own
like
perspective
the
on the world?
Answer we got. makes you think.
That is
a great one.
So basically, Vitalik's mom is what Hannah's asking for.
Yeah.
Well, no, she's deep in the industry, right? With Meta,
yeah,
so we can't ask her.
Yes, Satoshi's mom.
Vitalik's dad.
Yeah.
And it would be cool because it's like, I'm sure, I know that my family, their entire view on the world has changed because of crypto. Like, whether they're invested or not, like, they're like more like, oh, self-custody is actually something that we can do. Like, you know, it kind of just realizing the crypto deep value system of like self-custody, permissionlessness, you know, cross, like it's super globalized and like borders aren't as much of a thing. Like a lot of that can be extrapolated to, I think, a view on society and the world.
Very cool.
Cool.
Metallic Stack. Justin, can you please top that?
I literally cannot top that, guys. I think that's a wrap right there. You're going to have to go digging for some people who are tangentially in the crypto industry, but I think that'd be super interesting.
Give one name. You don't even explain why. You don't have to get any reasoning. Just
first name that came to your mind.
First name that comes to mind.
I want to see you interview Nick Carter directly after his fight on this show.
Yeah, I've been trying to get Nick Carter on for so long. Oh, and just right like hasn't gone fight. Back. And it's just like, I haven't been able to pull it off. So Nick, if you're hearing this, this is an open invitation. I'll ask you about cheese, I promise. anyways, but yes, I would love to have Nick Carter on to talk stablecoins and after his fight and everything. So, but yeah, guys, thanks so much for coming on. Where can people find you on socials?
Yeah, asymmetry.finance. And if you're interested in joining the community in the IDO, paidnetwork.com/asymmetryfinance.
Yep. Just Hannah's about and Hannah's social, I think your Twitter at Hannah Jojo. I'm at macro_Justin. And then asymmetryfin on Twitter is the place to find all the latest, greatest ASIM news.
Yes.
Awesome.
Go follow. Thanks, guys, for coming on. And hope to see you again soon.
Thank you so much,
Dave. Thanks, guys. This was fun.
See you, guys.
Thanks. All right, everybody. Welcome to the post game. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, here with Capital K. We're wrapping up an episode with Asymmetry Finance. Kit, this was a real shape rotator episode for you. Structured products on chain. That's a TLDR. And, you know, they've been cooking some cool stuff. Kit, what are your thoughts on this one?
She had me at actuary. She had me at actuary.
Yeah, at the beginning. And the kid's like, I'm locked in.
I was like, I'm locked in. I'm like, oh, I'm in this now. And it's one of my favorite episodes because we got definitely into the weeds without losing the forest for the trees. So I definitely like this one. And I feel like their product, you know, I said this right before the recording started, but it's a challenging product. Not necessarily to build is challenging, but then to scale is a whole different business. Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, they're in it. So I really hope they get to that 1B number.
I really like the questions you ask is the, you know, you kept them. It's a cool product. I think we both agree on that. Yeah. But the liquidity issue, like, how does this get liquidity to scale? And I think that's where the token comes in. Like I would just see like the token incentives be for LP providers in order to scale that liquidity.
Yeah, 100%. It has to be. I mean, maybe that's the VEASF, right? That's when those tokens itself could be emitted, right? Maybe we see another VECRV in the making here.
Well, we shall see. But also, I just like talking to I really like Justin and Hannah as people, and I just really like talking to them. It was a lot of fun. Even like before the episode, we were going back and forth
about
all this random stuff.
Great banter.
Great banter. And then just seeing like their evolution over the past year and a half, because I've known Hannah for a bit. And so it's like seeing where Asymmetry was, because when I met her, to be honest, I had no idea what it was. And it wasn't until that first interview that like I was like, oh, wait a second. This is actually really cool. Like, this is, you know, this is what DeFi is about. It's connecting different money Legos on chain to, you know, create like a higher, to create something cool, something with a boosted yield. So
don't see them as a money Lego. I see them as a money Lego kit, right?
Money Lego kit.
It already comes in a kit and you just got to assemble it yourself at home if you so choose, right? That's what I see it.
I wonder what other products they could build in the future.
I think the real yield thing that he alluded to of like this almost ETH paired with like five other yield tokens, and those yield tokens could be rotating. Maybe one day CRV, CVX bribes are super hot. Maybe one day Aerodrome and Velodrome bribes are super hot. Like it would just keep on rotating through, and like with multi-chain as well too, right? Yield is not, it's abstraction. Yield is everywhere, right? You got to go and find where the best yields are.
The yield is out maybe, there. You just got to go get it.
Yeah. Bro, maybe it's even possible that it could become an ETH paired with like a Kelp ETH or Renzo ETH or like whatever other ETH, because they managed to get like a really good AVS operator that's just like paying out buku yield. So like I see them as like a recipe like engine, like they can just spit out recipes for you to kind of make. And Yeah, I was going to suggest that they should take a look at QETH. Remember from Yield Ness's design on how to pull out, you know, ETH that way. I thought it was like super clever, and that unifies liquidity into one token because everyone has to exit through the same door, you know. So that was an idea I forgot to mention. Yeah,
that's good. Maybe they'll hear this after, or you can message them. That's a really good idea, actually. But yeah, no, really exciting stuff having them on. Excited to see their both LRT product and synthetic dollar come out soon.
Right.
They have a game plan, and they revealed a lot to us, but not everything. So maybe we'll have them on again. But if you want to hear that, make sure you hit that bell button. Go ahead, subscribe right now on YouTube. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Give us a like. Make sure to follow us on all of our socials on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram at Flywheel DeFi. You can follow me, yours truly, on Twitter at DeFiDave22.
You can follow me at 0xCapital_K.
And we'll see you next week. Everything said on this episode is not financial or tax advice. This channel is strictly for educational purposes and is not investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell any assets or to make any financial decisions. This video is not tax advice whatsoever. Please talk to your accountant and do your own research.